A number of years ago, I lived in Edmonton, Alberta, and on a Sunday morning, I walked into a church that I'd never been in before. And I went in and sat down, and they had a beautiful worship service, much like we did this morning, and was singing. And then the singing ended, and down the aisle came a couple, and they came to the front to be married, and they were actually married in that service. And it always struck me and stood with me on how community should really function, how we should function as a community. And, you know, COVID really robbed people of community. It robbed people of being able to share their joys and their sorrows. And we are just not wanting that to happen. And so this morning, as a community, or what we like to call a family, we want to celebrate the life of Lori Halverson, the wife of our dear Lyle. And in the beginning of May, Lori went to heaven. She went to be with the Lord. And we wanted to have a time this morning with Lyle of remembering Lori and just celebrating her life. We're going to begin this morning by having Bob come up and read a letter that was written by a man that was present at your wedding, Lyle, at Lyle and Lori's wedding. And he actually sang at their wedding. And you'll get to actually see him as well. But Bob's going to come up and read a letter from Jim Finnegan.
Jim actually was one of the initiators of West Ottawa, in that he was one of the Jesus people down and came down to the Spark Street Mall, and they were sharing about Jesus. Then Ken's Baptist kids heard about them. They invited him back, and the Holy Spirit fell on the church there and caused this church to be formed. So it's kind of, there's a longer story, but that's the short version. Okay, this is from Jim. Jim for Lyle. I remember Lori and Lyle and playing at their wedding. So sorry to hear about Lori. If you still have my CD, Make Me More Like You, there's a song on it called Lord Be the Glory. I think the words would touch Lyle's heart, especially the verse, I look into her eyes and I see the love that we share was meant to be. And when I think of how I lived before, I cannot help but praise God more and more. The whole song is uplifting. Lyle, my condolences to you for losing Lori. And it is very hard for you now. One day there will be a great reunion in heaven. Remember the words of Jesus, that he will wipe away all the tears. There will be no more pain and suffering. And Lori will abide with you and with God forever. She is waiting for you, Lyle. Take strength from that and push on in faith for the prize set before you, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Your work on earth is not done yet, and remain faithful and he will lift you up. If you could tell Lyle these words, I would appreciate it. Jim Finnegan.
Welcome back, everybody. I'd like to sing a new song to you. It's called What's on the Other Side of Life. What's on the other side of life? What's on the other side of life? Oh, I know it's true, he waits for me and you. Heaven's on the other side of life. The angels with a shout will welcome me, Father and the Son for all to see. With nail prints in his hands, he beckons me. I kneel and awe to him who set me free, set me free. Oh, what's on the other side of life? What's on the other side of life? Oh, I know it's true, he waits for me and you. Heaven's on the other side of life. The joy that fills my heart I can't contain. Multitudes sing glory to his name. Awesome heavenly music fills the air, and I can't believe I'm really there. I made it, praise God. Oh, what's on the other side of life? What's on the other side of life? Oh, I know it's true, he waits for me and you. Heaven's on the other side of life. The Father on the throne shineth there. 24 elders declare the glory, power, and honor to his name. forever and ever he will reign. Forever and ever and ever, that's a long time. Whoa, what's on the other side of life? What's on the other side of life? Oh, I know it's true, he waits for me and you. Heaven's on the other side of life. My family and my friends surround me there. The laughter and the joy I can't compare. The story is the we begin to tell. And for all eternity we share. Oh, what's on the other side of life? What's on the other side of life? Oh, I know it's true. He waits for me and you. Heaven's on the other side of life. Yes, the joy that's in my heart I can't contain. Multitudes sing glory to his name. Awesome heavenly music filled the air. And I can't believe I'm really there. I made it, praise God, I made it. Oh, what's on the other side of life? What's on the other side of life? Oh, I know it's true. He waits for me and you. Heaven's on the other side of life. One more time. What's on the other side of life? What's on the other side of life? Oh, I know it's true. He waits for me and you. Heaven's on the other side of life. Heaven's on the other side of life.
Oh my, yeah. Oh my, you know, we met, Lori and I met, well, that's a big story, but we'll keep it simple, you know, through the whole downtown of Ottawa and all that was Solomon's Porch and his place, which was Salvation Army and stuff, and we, St. Pat's, you know, we'd go there and have some quiet time well, she believed this and I believe this. To thine own self be true. We're taught in the church, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you may be healed. Okay. And the last 2 years have been for Lori and I. Have been the best years, really the best years. And I was able to make amends and stuff for just selfishness. Yeah, when they closed the bars and 2 years ago, and I just didn't go back. Yeah, we have a family here, and you know, my family from around Prior is in the back here, and then my cousins and stuff, and over here, and then we have Diane, that's her sister, and John, her husband, and the rest of the family here. I've got my friend here, Jamie. Yeah, you know, if there's anything else, you know, it would be continue. If anything's working for you, that's positive and constructive and forming good habits and becoming their slaves, continue. And Lori continued and continued, and you know, it was really and I was there for her, and she and we, I was able to be by the side, and Linda, my sister, over at the first table there, she was there. She'd been so supportive to me. And if there were any amends I should make, I'll make them right here publicly. Some of my behavior when I was much younger with my cousin Randy, I was out of line. Anyway, I guess that's enough for there, but confess your sins one to another, find someone you trust, and pray for each other that your baby healed. Thank you.
We just want to join our hearts with this entire family. You guys are so precious, and Lyle, we love you, and Father, we thank you for the gathering here today. We thank you for this beautiful family. And Lord, we thank you for your comfort. It's unlike any other comfort. And we pray for that to be their portion, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, both now and throughout their days. And thank you for Jim Finnegan's words, Lord, that Lyle's life is not over, that you have plans and purposes, Lord. Philippians 1:6, you began a good work. You'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Good things ahead, Lyle, in Jesus' name. Into Lyle's song that he chose to play.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
She completed her race. Ken, do you want to come up and share?
Thanks. Not many of you got to know Lori, because some years ago, she had a heart operation, and it quite changed her personality. So she hasn't been here for many years. But those of us that have been around since Church of the Way days, which is that congregation that formed after Jim and Candace messed us up by bringing the Holy Spirit to a Baptist church, they should have known better. But we were all hungry for more of God. And when they came and they prayed for the young people, and the young people experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, there was just no containing it. And the places that Lyle was talking about at the beginning of his talk were coffee houses downtown. There were many of them, and our church sponsored one or two of them and provided music and everything else, rented space. And many of the young people spent a lot of time in those coffee houses, inviting people to come in. They go out in the street, invite people to come in to the coffee house, and then there'd be music, and then they would begin to share their testimony. So Lyle and Lori were part of that. And eventually they discovered each other out of that context, and they got married, and I was privileged to marry them. And Jim Finnegan was here, and he sang at their wedding. And Jim told me to tell you that if you want more of his songs, you can find him on YouTube or Facebook. Just do Jim Finnegan. There is no other. Jim is a precious, precious man. And he now is caring for his wife, who he says is very frail. And Candace introduced worship dance to this congregation. And we haven't had worship dance for a while, but it's part of the reason we have such a large dance floor here, and also a dance practice room upstairs. But the Lord will revive that in his time. But the story of their love and devotion to each other is really significant, because Lyle intimated that he had a problem with alcohol, and he still regularly goes to an AA type meeting online. He's faithful in that. He continues in what's working for him. And that's what he means also about confessing your sins one to another and praying for one another that you may be healed. But that healing is often not automatic and dramatic. It often is incremental, and sometimes it means having the strength to continue the next day, which is part of the AA ideal. Stay sober today. But Lyle does more than that. He does more than stay sober. He also continues in his faith. He's faithful to the fellowship of the brotherhood. And out of that, he has strength. In the last 2 years, he didn't amplify, but because of COVID, they couldn't get help. They lived on an upstairs suite in an apartment. And to get Lori out, he had to get people to come and help him, even to go to doctor's appointments. And he became her chief caregiver. He was orderly, aide, nurse, everything that she needed, he was providing. And that, to me, speaks of a commitment and a dedication and love that is just amazing. And so I know that the Lord honors that kind of faithfulness in us and as we relate to our partners. So as we remember Lori, for Lyle's sake and for the family's sake, and we join with them, I wish you could have known her, because she was a gentle soul, a very sweet person, and kind of shy, but a lovely lady. And so they lived together. They were never able to have children, and so Lyle has not got that support. So we, in fact, become his larger family. One of the things that I wanted to remind you of is that you are beautiful people. When I was looking at Leo's baby cradled in his arms, I thought, there's beauty. There is beauty. We see it in one another as well. We see the symmetry and the beauty that God has put into each one of us. When we look around us in this springtime and we see the many shades of green, I like green. Blue may be my favorite color, even if it doesn't match my complexion according to my stylist. But yeah, I got roped into having my colors gone. Not roped in, but anyway, that was an interesting experience. But have you noticed all the shades of green of the various trees? And then the flowers. Yesterday at Larry's daughter's place, the whole front yard, no grass, just all flowers. It was so beautiful. And every flower shape, the symmetry of the flowers and the colors and the shapes of the leaves and the colors of the leaves. Have you recognized your ability to appreciate beauty? And then music. How is it that we know what a tune is and how it harmonizes? That's another appreciation for beauty. And then we look at each other and we see the beauty in people. Brothers and sisters, when God made us in his image, it wasn't just outwardly. It's not like God has two eyes and a nose and a mouth, but he planted in us an appreciation for beauty. And you have that in you. And that signifies that you have been made in the image of God. And then we get to the idea of logic. And oh my goodness, how we love logic, especially our own. You may be illogical, but I am not. I am completely logical. If you don't believe me, ask Lois. So that appreciation for the symmetry and the beauty of thought, that is amazing. And even the appreciation of justice. Now, I know that I have my definition of justice, and you have your definition of justice, and we're both right. So, but it's interesting that when I'm accused of doing something wrong that's illogical or selfish, I have a rationale for it. I have a good rationale. I will mount an argument in front of the Supreme Court. And when they find me guilty, I will go to jail complaining that they are wrong. You recognize this inherent capacity to recognize justice and to criticize others for being unjust. It's never ending. And that's why we're always tempted to be in the place of the critic instead of being in the place of the encourager. Find something good and praise it, is the advice of the 5-minute manager. Because those 5 minutes of praise will do more for your employees than 10 minutes of criticism. It's a good way to raise kids. I understand that it's also a rule in the Navy that you have to give 10 items of praise to a sailor for every item of criticism. Now, you can check with Graham and Judith because they both served in the Royal Navy, and they can tell you if that was how they were treated. So you just got told off. No sugar on the pill. Okay, here, just chew this. All right. Well, we can't all be consistent all the time, although that's what we expect of others. Anyway, you recognize that we are made in the image of God, and the whole of our interior being echoes that likeness. It's there, and I don't think you can deny it. But there's a problem. First of all, in terms of our physical beauty and even deformity, we recognize that the DNA chain is broken, and the state of California will affirm that fact. Because in anything that comes out, it says known to the state of California to cause birth defects, et cetera, right? And in some parts of the country, they're still taking out the old lead water pipes. And they don't recognize that the problem with the kids in the school and their learning capacity is the fact that they have lead in their water. You know the old saying, mad as a hatter. It was because they used lead in the process of making hats, of beaver hats. And so the people that worked with hat making often became mentally unbalanced. So we recognize that the DNA chain is broken. We recognize that there are deformities that have been introduced into the chain, and we can't help that. And the strange thing is that the more people who survive because of modern medicine, the greater the number of defects in the DNA chain. Does that make sense? And so there are various ailments that are being passed on from generation to generation in increasing numbers. And then people say, why doesn't God do something about it? Because right from the time that we read the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, whenever we are accused of something, we look for the cause in the other. And so Adam made the excuse that it was his wife's fault. His wife said, why did you put the tree there? And this is something that evangelicals still haven't come to terms with. The idea that God would put a tree in the garden that would be dangerous to the health and welfare of his kids is just beyond our comprehension, because we don't recognize that freedom of choice is the essence of love. Freedom of choice is the essence of love. And yet, evangelicals are constantly wanting to put in place rules that they draw from the Old Testament and impose it on a whole population that has been elected by 0.2 of its population. Absorb that. Because given our tendencies, we would happily be the Ayatollah and introduce Christian law instead of Sharia law. That's something to think about. Because the tree in the garden was the price of love. Because love can't be coerced. It has to be free. If we accept that as a baseline, and we accept that we are made in the image of God, then the second thing is, how did things get so broken? And when Lyle apologized for his behavior, he said, I did it selfishly. One time I was listening to Lowell Green on CFRA, and he was talking about his divorce. And he said, looking back, I see that the root cause was my selfishness. We are so prone to look at other people, but the problems that we have in our lives are very often the cause of our selfishness, because of our selfishness. And not only our selfishness, but our inability or unwillingness to frankly confess that the problem is my selfishness. The problem is my selfishness. So how do we get out of this mess? Ultimately, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus wraps it all up, when all the nations acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, and when he begins to bring his justice to the earth, and I believe that he already is, that there are certain natural consequences that are present in the earth, partly because he made the rules. So yesterday, David missed a step, had a fall, hit his head on a pavilion that was in the backyard, and some of the folks there patched him up and put a bandage on his ear. He was the victim of natural consequences because the law of gravity works whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, right? And you wonder why good people die, because when bullets come out of guns, the bullet doesn't say, oh, this is a good guy, I can't hurt him, or this is a bad guy, he deserves to die. He's the one that the gun will miss. It's really strange. But what we see in the earth is a manifestation of the justice of God that comes about through the law of God, the laws that he has created in creation, in chemistry and physics and math, because they work. They're just there. Hot air rises, cold air sinks. Hot water rises, cold water sinks. Everything that's fired out of a gun or thrown with a ball has a trajectory that's determined by force and gravity. And those of you that are engineers can explain it even better. All these things are working around us. But at some point in the Bible, it says that God will bring about a time when there is justice in the earth, when all of the swords will be beaten into plowshares, when all the music will be on key, when nobody lies, when all justice is done, and the ones that are bad will be assigned to their place, and those that find favor with God will be assigned another place. Now, how do you come into that place of favor with God? When Lori was young, before they met, she accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I don't know if you've ever thought as a single person what it would be like to be married, but it's impossible to explain marriage until you're married. And then you discover it's not what you thought it was, because from the marriage manuals, it says that we always seek someone to complement ourselves so that we become more. And actually, the secret to successful marriage is becoming less. You think that you're always going to have your wife clean the bathrooms? Think again. You think that your wife is always going to be there to change the baby? Think again. How do you explain marriage until you are married and you're dealing with the pressures of finances and personalities and preferences and kids and lowly tasks and whose job is this and you didn't do your job? I'm not going to do it for you. Yikes. All kinds of complications, isn't there? And so it is that with that one word, you created a future for yourself that you had not anticipated. I do, or I will. That's two words. All right. We have a type C over here. When you say to Jesus, I will, I acknowledge you as Lord and God. I acknowledge you as Lord and God. I love Chuck's prayer when he became a believer. He said, I want what Daryl has. No sinner's prayer. No quoting of scripture, he says, I want what Daryl has. And the next day he realized he was a new creature. One of the guy that taught me to hunt partridge when I came to Ottawa was in the Baptist church that we were serving. And he went away for the summer. He was always kind of skeptical. You know, his wife came, he allowed the kids to come, but Keith was always kind of skeptical. And he came back from summer vacation and he said, you know, we really need to do this. And I looked at him, because we're very frank with each other, and I said, what do you mean we? And I kind of looked at him knowingly, you know, and he said, yeah, I accepted Jesus. So a little while later he said, I know that I've become a Christian. I said, how do you know? Because as I said, we were very frank with each other. I said, how do you know? And he said, I hit my thumb with a hammer and I said, ouch. How can I tell you what a change it makes when you ask Jesus into your life, because you recognize that he is Lord and God, and that this unlikely situation has developed by which the God who created you and made that beauty inside you has suddenly taken on your human nature and died so that you would not be separated from your Father forever. Now, if you choose not to belong to the Father, and you choose, there's two trees in the garden. There's always a yes and a no. It says so right on your computer, a little circle and a dot. There's a yes and a no. And don't fool yourself. If you haven't said yes, it's like getting married. If you haven't said I will, you're not married. And if you say I will to Jesus, I acknowledge who you are, then you become part of his family. If you refuse to take him as your husband, don't be surprised if there's no wedding. But if you say, Jesus, I believe you are Lord and God, I want to follow you, then the change that comes in one's heart is amazing. I sometimes react to songs that say, all I need is you, all I need is you. And then I had this kind of insight. Jesus is the key to the algorithm. He's the key to the encryption. And everything else in my life began to make sense in increasing measure from the time that I accepted him at a Salvation Army children's meeting when I was about 10 or 11 and went home feeling, wow, there's something different. It was like clean, it was like joyful. And you know, it's never gone away. It's never gone away. I've threatened it a few times, but I'm like a fish on the hook. When I start to go away, he starts to reel me in. I can't describe to you how that change takes place. I just know that it does. And if you talk to anybody else who knows what I'm talking about and has had that changed, it's the change from being a single person to being a married person, but it's inside. It's a new relationship. It's a sense of trust and peace and cleanness. You know, maybe after, just share with one another, what was it like when you surrendered and started to follow Jesus and asked him to come into your life? Now, that's the other strange thing, is that after you ask him to come into your life, you're still in this process of making choices, aren't you? There's still true trees in the garden, and you have to keep eating it, eating it, eating it, that tree of life. Jesus says, the words that I give unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you stop eating his words, you will discover that starvation is not far behind, and weakness, and then sickness in your soul, and then sin. My mom in her Bible, when she died at 88, I got her Bible and I was looking in it, and she had a saying she'd written out, either sin will keep you from God's word, or God's word will keep you from sin. You stop eating, you get sick. You stop fellowshipping, you get sick. You stop praying and waiting on the Lord and listening to the Lord and doing what he says, you get sick. So don't stop. Don't stop. Because if you do, Chuck will be on your case. Somebody will. God will send somebody after you in order to bring you back. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm just saying this background that I've given you is a background to Lori's life and Lyle's life. Not a life of perfection, but a life of knowing what it is to submit to Jesus, to confess him as Lord, and then to find that through the circumstances of life, he brings us back. He draws us back to himself so that we can continue to walk in life. So if you see a brother or sister that's flagging, needs encouragement, maybe starting to give up on church because of the stupidity of us all, because we all hurt one another. But if you see somebody like that, just go and love on them. Don't tell them what they're doing wrong. Just go and love on them and say, you know, you're beautiful. God made you beautiful. Don't let this worm eat the fruit because you're beautiful. And call them back into that life of fellowship with Jesus, because that's where goodness flows to us and through us. Be blessed.
Wasn't that precious? I want to just repeat Lyle's words that he wrote. I don't know where I got this, maybe from an email, Lyle, that you wrote, but these are just four beautiful words. And you said, she completed her race. She completed her race. Graham, come on up. And Graham's taken us into a time, into communion. And I just think it's really fitting that we have this time together.
Well, when we have a family time like this, you never quite know how timing will go. Maybe some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, no, it's something else. I thought it was over. We won't take very long. We want to do this because it's really, really important. However, if you do need to leave, we understand, and feel free to leave if you have to. But this is family time, and it's been good to stand with you, Lyle, and to remember Lori and the family. Thank you for coming and making this special today. So as we come into communion, this was our scheduled week for communion. We had it on the calendar for doing communion this week. We tried to do it once a month, and then it fitted into this week that it was a time and suitable to include Lyle and Lori into it. And so we had the discussion, should we continue a communion or we drop that and reschedule it? And And it seemed appropriate to us that we celebrate communion together, because it's about Jesus. And he's the one that made the way for Laurie to be with him now. He's the one that's made the way for all of us to be there. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, all the things we've been talking and singing about would not exist. And we wouldn't be saying, you know, this is a sad time, this is an unhappy time, but we know she is with the Lord. We wouldn't be able to say that if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't know if we realize what that really means. So what we do occasionally is something in obedience to Jesus to remember why we can celebrate life after someone has died. And it's because the most important person in the whole of time died. Chuck said a few times that beautiful phrase, she completed her race. She completed the race. And as I was just thinking about this morning and sharing communion, the thoughts came to me, and I'd had this down already for next time we had communion. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. You can't be more complete than that. It is finished. And then later in the Gospels, the apostle wrote about, I press on to the goal to win the prize. Laurie has won her prize because it is finished. There is nothing else to do. And with that in mind, and with that understanding, with that heart, we follow what Jesus said. There's lots of places in the scripture that talk to this celebration. Of course, the main ones in Matthew, Mark, and Luke just repeat the words. They tell us the story when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And then in Corinthians, we get to Corinthians chapter 11, and there Paul is saying, he's actually admonishing the church a little bit because they got a little off track, but he says, and this is what the Lord gave me when you come together. You know, take bread, break it, share it. Take the cup, share it, and drink it. Because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we're doing this morning to remember that it is finished. That because of Jesus, we can press on to the goal and we will win the prize. Let me just read a few verses from Hebrews 9. As I say, there's many scriptures. And when you put on, you know, the lens of Jesus's crucifixion and read scripture, it's all there. It's throughout of his purpose of life. But Hebrews 9, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves. You remember up to that point, the sacrificial system had to take place. They had to once a year bring and make a sacrifice to redeem themselves, to cleanse themselves of sin. And even the high priest, you know, the most holy person of the time, had to do that. But now since Jesus has died, and because Jesus has shed his blood, that doesn't work anymore. It's the blood of Jesus shed on the cross that is the sacrifice. Otherwise, we'd have goats up here on the stage and sheep. But we don't need to do that, because as we also have on the stage, there's an empty cross. Jesus was nailed to a cross by the Romans. It was a horrific capital punishment system. But he went there for me. He went there for you. And he shed his blood and he died. And now it says that's all gone because Jesus has done that. But he, Jesus, entered the most holy place in the temple once for all. He only did it once. He doesn't have to do it every year. He doesn't have to do it every time we do communion. He did it once, but it's for all of us and for all time. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, how much more will that cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. She's finished the race. We will win the prize if we hang on to only the acceptance that Jesus did it all. There's nothing I can do to make that better. I can make nothing I can do that makes me win a better prize. There's only one prize. That's eternal life with our Lord Jesus. Glory has got there. We will get there one day. Other loved ones are there, worshiping around the throne. Our songs this morning, the words that we sang declared what we're doing this morning. We're sharing and we're remembering, but we've already declared, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb upon the throne. The Lamb is a name we give Jesus to remember that he was a sacrifice, like the Passover Lamb. And this whole load of, you know, background we could go into, we don't have time this morning, but he was that sacrificial lamb as a man, and he is now remembered and worshiped that way. So let's share this together the way I'm going to do it this morning. And you know, we have the numbers of visitors here, but the only regulation we really have, there's not many rules when we come to remembering Jesus. But I do urge you, if you don't really know Jesus as your savior and you want to remember what he's done for you, and he hasn't really done it yet, then just take a moment to come before him and confess your sins and ask him to come into your life before you even come to here. There's other scriptures that warn us. That 1 Corinthians 11 warns us, if we take and remember with a wrong heart, a wrong attitude, without accepting Jesus as our savior, then it is not a good place to be. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But if you love the Lord, and you know that it is finished, he is your savior, you're welcome. Come, come, come. Anyone, come. What we're going to do is I'm going to put some of matzah bread, both ends of stage, and some of the cups, both ends of the stage. Scott, I'll ask you to come back with a team to play some music. And then recognize that you are doing this in remembrance of him. Jesus said to his disciples, and it was one of the last things he ever said before he died. It must be important. You know, read John chapters 14, 15, 16, 17. That's a large chunk of the Bible given to the dinner that they had, the meal that they shared. There was a lot of important stuff. And one of the things he said is, do this in remembrance of me, because we need to remember this is what Jesus did. Search your hearts, it says in Corinthians. If there's anything that is between you and the Lord, confess it. If there's anything between you and a brother or sister, believer, or anyone in your family, then confess it and come before the Lord and he will cleanse you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you had a way where there seemed to be no way. You had a plan from the beginning of time. And as Ken told us, that we have choices. We can choose a tree of life, or we could choose the tree of death. And we choose the tree of life this morning. We choose that tree that represents what Jesus was going to do. We choose that Jesus has come into our lives, and we say, thank you, Lord. And now this morning, as a congregation gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we take this bread in remembrance of you, Jesus, as you had told us to do. We take this cup, which reminds us of the blood that was shed. And we do that in remembrance of you. And we thank you that it's not by any magic in these elements that will save us. It's the blood of Jesus shed. It's the gift of God in our lives that brings us into salvation. And this morning, Lord, we say thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for calling me out from the world and bringing me into your family. Thank you that we are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus once for all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. May your favor and grace be upon everyone this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.